You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 27th of April 2020, and you're listening to me, Sam Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I'm still amazed that there are people out there that are still claiming that because the coronavirus has a similar death rate to the flu, it's no more dangerous than the flu. I mean, it's just incredible. We've known this for well over a month, since the cruise liner. There was a cruise liner back at the beginning of February, and everybody on this cruise liner caught the coronavirus. And they had a few deaths on there, and they were all elderly people, but you could work out from that, because you had this large number with everybody that caught it, you could work out what the death rate was. And we could see that the death rate was round about 1%, or under 1%, basically. The UK government then changed its designation of what the coronavirus was to reflect the fact that it had a much lower death rate. And the mainstream press, I guess, just didn't really pick this up, because there's a video going around of them saying, oh, this is a hoax then, because it's got a low death toll. And all the people that are pointing this out are missing a really crucial fact here. With the flu, when you catch the flu, within 24 hours, you are showing symptoms of the flu. You feel terrible. You can't go out. People can tell that you have the flu. So there's only 24 hours in which case you might infect somebody with the flu. With coronavirus, it can take 2 weeks before any of the symptoms start showing. The earliest that the symptoms are going to start showing is about 5 days. And half the people that get the coronavirus don't actually show any symptoms, but they are infectious. So that means that in that 2 weeks, half of these people that have got it are not even going to have any symptoms at all, and they're going to be going about their normal business, and they could be infecting hundreds of people. That's the difference between this. If you catch the flu, you're not going to infect anybody else. But if you catch the coronavirus and carry on going about your business, you're going to infect loads of people. And there's going to be far more people dying than there will be with the flu. And I'm just amazed that there are people on the right that just aren't pointing this out. They're just shouting about it being a hoax because it's been discovered that it's only 0.1% death rate. Well, really, they should have been paying more attention, because, they should have learnt that weeks back, that the death rate was much lower. And there's actually a report that I want to begin with today that actually comes from the Financial Times, and it's been dug up by Hunter Wallace at Occidental Dissent. The death toll from coronavirus may be almost 60% higher than reported in official counts, according to an FT analysis of overall fatalities during the pandemic in 14 countries. Mortality statistics show 122,000 deaths in excess of normal levels across these locations, considerably higher than the 77,000 official COVID-19 deaths reported for the same places and time periods. If the same level of underreporting observed in these countries was happening worldwide, the global COVID-19 death toll would rise from the current official total of 201,000 to as high as 318,000. In all the countries analysed except Denmark, excess deaths far outnumbered the official coronavirus death tolls. And there are a helpful series of tweets that are also shown at Occidental Dissent, showing you these graphs that show you these death tolls, and it's just a sudden spike in this month. So that what that means is, despite so many people saying, well, they're inflating the death rate, and in New York they've been told not to use coroners, and if they show symptoms of coronavirus, just to put down that they've died of coronavirus. And that is not what is affecting this. What is affecting this is that people are actually not writing down coronavirus, and we're having massive deaths. It's the same over here in Britain, where they have just been telling us about the people that have died in the hospitals, whereas we know from the death rate in Europe that double the number of the people that have died in hospitals is the accurate number, because the same number of people are dying in the care homes that are dying in the hospitals. And again, this isn't death from natural causes, because it's these deaths that are making this spike. I mean, there are some countries that have got a tiny COVID death toll that they're reporting in just in double figures, yet they've got a spike of extra dead that goes into the thousands. Some of these third world countries. So we really have to be skeptical about everything that we're being told, and we have to look at both sides of this story and make sure that we're getting the full information. If you're just being told, oh, it has the same death rate as the flu, then you're not actually being given all the information to form your conclusions from. You have to look at the amount of people that are actually catching this and how infectious it is. And you also have to look at the total number of deaths to see if there's something that's happening out of the ordinary. Because, of course, this would show that actually, yes, there is a big problem here. Because if you were thinking, well, maybe they are inflating these deaths, well, if you actually look at the total death rate, then that will confirm whether or not that is happening, and that is not happening. Well, I've actually managed to find some news that isn't related to coronavirus to talk about today, and that is the grooming gang review that we were told was finished a couple of months back. A review of grooming gangs promised by former Home Secretary Sajid Javid was internal, the government has said, after more than 120,000 people called for it to be published. In response to the petition, a spokesperson said the fact-finding work would inform an upcoming strategy on child sexual abuse. As part of our work, we have completed a review of existing literature, a statement added. We have spoken to investigators and safeguarding professionals to better explore the challenges in investigating these crimes and their understanding of the offenders and victims of group-based child sexual exploitation. So this is what they're calling it now, group-based child sexual exploitation. I guess that's the politically correct term for Muslim grooming gang. And for them to say that this was supposed to be internal, it was obviously implied that this was going to be public, because it was in response to accusations that the government were covering this up. So the fact that there was going to be an investigation in response to the government being accused of covering this up shows that this investigation was supposed to be made public. So what could it possibly be? What could the reason possibly be that they're not actually making this public? I mean, I have suggested before that perhaps they were delaying the release of this. Perhaps they wanted to look at it themselves and maybe make some adjustments to their policy and get that done first and out of the way before the press had a look at this and started accusing them of being racist for making these changes. But now what they're saying is, oh, it was never intended to be public in the first place. So that can't have been the reason that they just wanted to make their adjustments first. I think we can find the reason out by looking back at another news story talking about this from about a year ago. And again, this is from the Independent website. Campaigners see progress as critical in the fight against far-right racism. Warning, people are being wrongly attacked because of their ethnicity, as the controversy is exploited. So what they're saying there is that people on the left are wanting to see this report because they think that the report is going to counteract so-called far-right racism, which is basically what they're saying here is because people were saying, well, 90% of the grooming gangs are Pakistani. And this is what they were hoping that this report was going to counteract. One of the reasons why these cases have taken so long to bring to justice is because police were the last people to understand this problem, Nazir Asfal, former chief crown prosecutor, told the Huffington Post website. On subject after subject, you get the Home Office saying they're going to do something, and they end up not doing it and hoping that you will forget about it. This is seriously concerning given the fact that it's being exploited by the far right. The fact that there are people who are suffering physically because they are being attacked, because they are being accused of being offenders, just because of their ethnicity. Mr. Asfal also warned that victims were being given false assurance because of the media focus on one model of child abuse carried out by largely Pakistani grooming gangs. So what are you saying there is that we need to get this report out because it's going to show that it's not just Pakistani, not just Pakistanis that are involved in this. Of course, we know it's not just Pakistanis that are involved in it. It is predominantly Muslims that are involved in it. And Muslims are predominantly non-white, but they're not all Pakistanis. You've got Afghans, you've got Somalians, you've got all different types of non-whites that actually make up these grooming gangs. As I've pointed out before, in Holland, they're largely made up of Moroccans. In Finland, they're largely made up of Somalians, and it all just depends on what the largest non-white Muslim community is that's in the country. So obviously there's a reason why the government doesn't want to publish this. The suggestion was made last year that this report was going to be used against so-called far-right racists, implying that it was going to find out that it wasn't predominantly carried out by non-whites. And now the report has been finished and we're not allowed to see it. I would suggest the reason why we are not allowed to see it is because it's probably particularly damning of Muslims being involved in this and possibly also a high proportion of Pakistanis. The Independent understands that a final decision on whether to publish the findings has not yet been made. Where did they get that from? Because we've already been told that they're not going to make it public. And they just said there that it was just going to be internal. Mr. Javid first promised this review in July 2018, pledging that there would be no no-go areas of inquiry. I remember him doing this. I remember him saying this, and I can remember thinking, he's probably genuine here. He probably is genuine because he doesn't want to be seen as if he's playing favoritism here. He doesn't want to be seen as if he's playing favorites with his own ethnic background. So I do think that he was genuine in wanting to get this done and say, look, if there is a problem with my religion or with my ethnicity or it's members of that religion, members of that ethnicity, then I am certainly not a person that is going to cover that up. I am somebody that is going to investigate it and get to the bottom of it. And I do think Sajid Javid was genuine in doing this. I don't think he's one of these race hustlers like Naz Shah or any of these other ones that are constantly trying to blame white people for things. He's more of a type that's trying to show that he's a British citizen more than anything else, I believe. He said that abusers convicted in high-profile cases had been disproportionately from a Pakistani background, adding, I will not let cultural or political sensitivities get in the way of understanding the problem and doing something about it. Mr. Javid spoke about the ongoing work several times, but the Home Office made no further announcements after he moved to the Treasury. And we've been told that Priti Patel tried to have a look at this report, and she was actually banned from looking at it. And that was reported in Political Elite, which I think is run by non-whites, and this was picked up on again, and it was shown in the Huffington Post, but I don't know what their source is for that. And I mean, it could just be that they're trying to endear Priti Patel to the so-called far right. Obviously here, Sajid Javid is admitting that they do largely come from a Pakistani background, and yet this Nazir Afzal and various other left-wing activists were hoping that this report wasn't going to show that. Quite clearly it has shown that. That's why they're not making it public. Survivors of child sexual exploitation in Rotherham said they believed the research was going to be made public and accused the government of making empty promises. Sarah Champion, the Labour MP for Rotherham and the former chief prosecutor who initiated charges against a grooming gang in Rochdale, are among those demanding its release. In response to a Freedom of Information request from The Independent asking for any research carried out, officials claimed publication was not in the public interest. And what they mean by that, I would suggest, is exactly the same as when they told the police that to be investigating these crimes was not in the public interest because it could damage community cohesion. It could cause some upset in the communities. What they mean by that is it could show that in actual fact, the nationalists that have been warning about these grooming gangs were correct, and in actual fact that we have got a problem with a specific community that is linked to this sort of behaviour. So that's what they mean by when they say that publishing this would not be in the public interest, because it would mean that the Muslim community were shown to have a much higher proportion of people engaging in this behaviour than you would expect just by their percentage of the population. I mean, we've looked at some of the numbers from places like Telford, and they're really, when you work out how many Muslim males there actually are there, and then you find out how many were actually involved in this, it was a large portion of the Muslims in that area that must have known about this, because they are, most of them are interrelated. Don't forget, most of them marry their cousins. And besides that, just to actually come over here, they all actually have a relative here before they first come here. So the idea that half of the community didn't know this was going on while the other half was engaged in it is just not possible. They must have all known about it. And that was probably going to come out in this report as well. The article sparked a petition on the government website, which has so far been signed by almost 122,000 people. And of course, after 100,000 people sign this petition, it's supposed to be debated in Parliament, or there's supposed to be an answer to it. And it may be you need to get 1 million people before there's a debate. But they certainly have to respond after 100,000 people. We, the British public, demand the release of the official research on grooming gangs undertaken by the government in full, it says. It cites another independent article, which revealed that almost 19,000 suspected child victims of sexual exploitation were identified by local authorities in just 1 year. And don't forget that we are told that only a very small amount of rape cases are actually reported, because there is such a low success rate of actually prosecuting them. So this number, 19,000 suspected child victims that have been identified by local authorities, that's probably much lower than the actual number that there is. And you think about that, 19,000 victims, and there's been an investigation into finding out why this is going on, and those 19,000 victims are not going to be told the conclusions of the report. And that's 19,000 people that have been let down by the government in not providing them with the conclusions of this. It's effectively saying that they don't matter, isn't it? The petition has been signed by people across the UK, as well as British citizens abroad in countries including Australia, Japan, and Thailand. A separate petition calling for the report to be released on the change.org website has more than 14,000 signatures. the issue could be debated in Parliament, but it is not fully sitting because of coronavirus, and the outbreak has delayed the work of a committee that schedules petition debates. The government statement was issued 7 weeks after the petition passed the threshold requiring an official response. So it obviously doesn't seem that important to them that they need to be responding to this. And it must be that 100,000 number that triggers the calls for a debate in Parliament on it. In response to the Independent's original FOI request, Home Office officials said they had applied a public interest test, but the information was exempt from the Freedom of Information Act because it could be used for government policy and included operationally sensitive information from police. Well, all they would have to do there is redact the operationally sensitive information from police. And how ridiculous is that, that they would include operationally sensitive information in this report that, as I pointed out earlier, it's been implied all along that this was a report that was going to be shown to the public because it was going to counteract what the so-called far-right racists have been saying about this. And don't forget, what the so-called far-right racists say is only what it says in the press. I mean, we only point out what these news reports say, like I did just then, 19,000 victims last year. And that comes from the Independent. All nationalists do is point out what we see in the news, and we point out the implications of that, and we point out that none of that would be happening. None of those girls would have been raped and trafficked if the government hadn't opened up the borders and allowed immigration from countries where that sort of thing goes on. We know that sort of thing goes on. We know that in places like Pakistan they have child brides. We know that when we see this war going on in Syria, that that ISIS take these child slaves. We know that their religious understanding comes from Saudi Arabia. I mean, all you have to do is look back at our history. Look back over the last 1,000 years of history, or go back 1,400 years to the start of Islam. And right since then, a large part of it has been about taking sex slaves, taking white sex slaves. And the fact that Muhammad had a 9-year-old bride shows you that in this culture, in the Islamic culture, that is considered to be okay. Obviously, that's not okay in Europe, but if you look at places like Turkey, where they're trying to lower the age of consent to allow child brides, you look at places like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq. They all allow this child bride thing, and they're encouraged that if they see women that aren't wearing burqas, that aren't wearing the veil, then they're encouraged to abuse these women, to force them to wear the veil. There are plenty of videos of these imams that are actually saying that online. So we've always known that there was a problem with this. And yet our government imported these people into our country. And then when people started saying, look, this is going on, or once there was a large enough community of them to do this, because don't forget, if you just had one or two Muslims about, then there isn't enough of them to have a grooming gang, is there? And also, you're probably only talking about a tiny percentage of their community that actually engages in this, although the rest of them tacitly allow it to go on because they weren't the ones reporting this. I mean, the people that were actually reporting this going on were nationalists. It was people in the BNP that were saying this is going on, and the people in the BNP that were pointing this out, they had to go through court trials where the BBC and others were trying to get these whistleblowers silenced and trying to say that what they were saying is racist. And of course, what they were saying was all found out to be true with the Rotherham report, where the 1,400 white girls, it was found, were trafficked and abused by these predominantly Muslim gangs. And what happened there? The police had been told that it was not in the public interest for them to investigate these crimes. It was not in the interests of community cohesion for the police to investigate these crimes. So they didn't investigate them. And now we've got exactly the same thing going on. We're being told it's not in the public interest for this report to be released. And the reason again for that is community cohesion. The information could be misleading if made public and used out of context, the letter added. Well, if it's facts, how can you use facts out of context? If the report is published, the report is published in full, then it can't be used out of context, can it? Because people would have to refer to the report. We recognise that this topic in general and any insight and learning are matters of strong public interest, although it does not necessarily follow that it is in the public interest to disclose any specific information relating to it. So that's what they're explaining there, is that if they release this, there may be friction between the communities. The government statement said tackling child sex abuse was its top priority, adding any insights gained from our internal work will inform our future action to end this devastating abuse, including the forthcoming strategy. Well, if that report has shown that the people involved doing this are predominantly Muslim, then in order to protect future victims from this, they should be informing young girls that they should be avoid associating with older Muslims. They should avoid going in these kebab shops and using these taxis that are run by Muslims. And the Muslims themselves should be pleased to go along with this. They should be encouraging that sort of thing. They should be saying, yes, we have a problem in our community. You would be best off encouraging your young girls to avoid associating with older Muslims. Because, you know, if they were sensible, they wouldn't want their community to be seen in that light. And the best way to prevent that would be to say, well, don't encourage any fraternization between elder Muslim males and young white females. But they're not doing that. They're still in this state of denial. And we've never really heard any condemnation of this from that community. And as I was pointing out, it wasn't that community that raised the alarm about this. It was the nationalist community that raised the alarm about this, and it's still the nationalist community that is being attacked for doing so now. And they're using us as an excuse for them not releasing this report. But as I say, if it was actually released, how could it be taken out of context? Surely, it's right now that it's being taken out of context if we can't actually see the report and we can't actually see the conclusions reached from it. The statement did not include any findings, but said perpetrators come from many different age groups, communities, ethnicities, and faiths. And of course they do. I mean, there's bound to be 1 or 2% that actually come from the white community. I mean, we've seen that. We've seen that there was a white female face that was involved in one of these groups. One of the other things that they will do with this, or they might do with this, is they might lump in individual pedophiles with it and say, well, look, we've also got all these single white pedophiles. But that's not the same thing, is it, as when you've got a whole group of men acting together to traffic young children. The child sexual abuse strategy will set out future work across government, law enforcement, education, social work, and industry to stop offenders and to help survivors rebuild their lives. Well, it remains to be seen whether they actually help these young children to actually avoid this happening to them in the first place. We need to teach our children that they need to be avoiding these Muslim males if they want to avoid this happening. And you need to be teaching parents that if you see these children with Muslim males, they need to not encourage that. And of course they don't. They teach them that, we're all the same, and they encourage them to have non-white boyfriends and to mix it all up while they're at school. And that, it's that which leads to this. It's these young white girls, maybe they're a bit mistreated by their parents, maybe they don't have that many friends, and they get befriended by a young young Muslim male who is around the same age, and they're just very pleased that somebody is paying attention to them. And then this young Muslim male will trick the girl into thinking that he's in love with her, and then what he will do is he will introduce her to his older friends, and they'll start taking drugs together, they'll get the girl drunk, and before you know it, this girl is being pressured into having sex with these older males. But of course it begins with a male of the same age. So if you really want to avoid that, you need to be telling these young girls, stick to your own kind, make friends among your own people. And be extra suspicious if a Muslim male tries to befriend you. But of course they can't do that, because that isn't politically correct, is it? That's saying that this community is different to the other community. So they're really in a quandary here. And really it should just be common sense that the most important thing to do is to prevent this from happening. But once again, it looks like instead of trying to prevent this from happening, they're placing political correctness first. I mean, that's why they're saying it's not in the public interest to report this, because they're putting political correctness first, which is exactly what led to this situation in the first place. It is right, proper, and routine for the government to carry out internal fact-finding work as part of policy development, as we do across a range of crime threats, the statement added. Any insights gained from this important internal work will be used to inform our future action to end this devastating abuse. Yes, but we have to see the report so that we know we can hold the government to account on this. How can we hold them to account as to working from the conclusions of this report if we don't see the conclusions? The government said it had increased funding for services supporting victims of sexual violence, and was working to improve the police response to sexual exploitation. It added, extremists may also seek to exploit legitimate concerns to sow further division. The government will continue to challenge these views and to help communities unite. Well, as I pointed out at the beginning, that's what this report was supposed to do, wasn't it? This report was supposed to challenge the so-called extremists. This report was supposed to somehow make out the so-called extremists to not have been telling the truth about this. But they're not releasing the report, are they? So what that does is it says that the so-called extremists were telling the truth, as we found out that the BNP whistleblowers 10, 15 years ago, the BNP whistleblowers were telling us the truth. And if only the government and the police had listened to them then and did something about this, then thousands of these young white girls would not have had their lives ruined. It's about time the government stopped being politically correct and actually put the interests of the people first. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.